The name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Sarah. Okay. Is it that one? What am I highlighting on the bottom? My glasses are way over by my chair. Left. There. That one. Hey. Now how about that? And here. Okay. It's amazing what one can do when you can't actually read the words. So there's a sermon in there somewhere, but we'll save it for another time. 2 Samuel chapter 7 came to pass when King David was dwelling in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." Then Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan. And God said to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, Nathan, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep to be the ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more, as previously. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord tells you that He will make you a house." And still God continued with His word to Nathan that he was to tell David. And God said, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house, David, and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Today we're going to look at this prophet Nathan and the message that God gives him to deliver to David. We're in our third part of 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. And we're using this passage of Scripture to discern our future here at Bread of Life. We want God to lead us and to guide us into the future. We talked about in the last 2 weeks the fact that we are in God's house. David realizes God has blessed him and he's not been blessing God as he should. And last week we looked at the prophet David and the fact that we can relate to David as a regular person. David made mistakes, big ones. And yet God still had a plan for him and made those promises to him. David asks himself, and thus gives us the example, so we ask ourselves, what does God want me to do, and what kind of person does God want me to be? And to help discern that, David seeks wise counsel and spiritual direction. And then the prophet Nathan speaks to him, and we heard those words just read to us. Nathan prays, receives a message from God, and counsels David. Now, who is this guy Nathan? Well, Nathan is a court prophet. He's an advisor to the king. Nathan wrote histories of King David and King Solomon, David's son, the person we heard about in that prophecy as well. You'll find Nathan in the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. Nathan was also a temple musician and a spiritual leader of the people. Nathan hears the word of God and delivers the message to David and says, go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Remember, David has this realization. You know, I live in a pretty nice house and God's out there in a tent. This seems backwards. And Nathan says to David, go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But then Nathan goes to sleep on it, if you will. And he gets this word from God that he's supposed to deliver to David. And this is basically a summary of what Nathan tells David. Nathan reminds David that he was called by God in verse 8. God says to Nathan, you shall say this to David, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be the ruler over my people. I took you from a menial nothing job, really, from something that nobody would have said was important at all, and I called you to this great task. Then God says, I defended you. Verse 9, I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you and have made you a great name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. So he called him to a task. Then he protected him in doing that task. And then he says, I provided you what you needed to get it done. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, verse 10, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. So God called him. God defended him when he was putting this together. God promises to provide for him in verse 10. And then in verse 11, God says the blessings will keep coming. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. God is going to bless the work that you do. So here's the first part of the message from God that he delivers through Nathan. I called you, I defended you, I provided for you, and I will bless you. And then God promises David a future. Verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, when you're gone, when you rest with your fathers, you know, when you're over at, Boot Hill, as they call it in Neshota. When you're pushing up daisies, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Guess what? Your son is going to be the king, and he's going to continue this task. Promises David a future. Nathan's prophecy tells David that he will start the temple, but his future will complete it. That's what we're talking about. He shall build a house for my name, says God. Your son is going to do this, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. David, you may not see this come together in your lifetime, but guess what? Through you, this is going to happen. And then in verse 16, God will not abandon David or his son when they sin, but promises to chasten, correct, forgive, and stay with them forever. Verse 14, he says, if he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. He's not going to get away with anything, but my mercy shall not depart from him. And your house, David, and your kingdom, David, shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the message that Nathan the prophet gives to David. It's a good message. It's a message that God gives us today as well. God calls every one of us to follow Him in this Christian life. God calls every one of us to faithfulness. God wants you. Should get a poster with Him pointing, you know. God wants you, and He wants all of you. Thinking back to the sermon that Father Chris did several months ago, we actually talked about this in Bible study. You know it's a good message when several months later people are still talking about it. Well, he did this message on the word all, A-L-L. God wants all of you, not little parts, not a little bit here and there, not sometimes yes, sometimes no, but God wants all of you. He calls us to a complete faithfulness. In so doing, God defends us and is a shield about us. God isn't going to call us to faithfulness and send us out there to be destroyed. Remember, that's David's sin. David wanted Bathsheba. So, you know, being the commander of the army, he sent Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband, out into battle. Put him right on the front line and then didn't give him any help, knowing full well that he wasn't going to come back. God doesn't work that way. God forgave David of that sin. God defends us and is a shield about us. So when He calls us to faithfulness, He doesn't abandon us. There isn't a part of your life where God is not. So, you know, when I hear people arguing Scripture and, you know, particularly Bible studies about very specific topics, and they'll say something like, well, God didn't say anything about, or Jesus didn't say anything about, fill in the blank. That's not Christianity. God doesn't say, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about this particular aspect of your life, but on this one, you're on your own. Figure it out. God doesn't do that. Absolutely does not do that. God defends us and is a shield about us when we are faithful. God provides for us when we are faithful. God provides for us. You know, we sometimes, you know, we take things to prayer. We wonder where our benefit, where our blessing is going to come from. Some people literally, where is my next meal going to come from? And God provides. God blesses us, and God promises us a future as well. God doesn't call us to this Christian life and then abandon us in it. Doesn't work that way. If God calls you, and I believe He does have a call on every person's life to follow Him, then He's going to be with you and strengthen you and defend you in that call. He's going to bless you in that call. He's going to provide for you in it. And we will, one way or another, see the promise of the future. See fruit in the ministry to which God has called us. But remember David. David had this revelation that he has been doing a whole lot for himself and not a whole lot for God. And he says, I'm living in this palace. And God's out in the parking lot. He's in a tent. tailgating of all things. He says, this is backwards. He says, we have to honor God. David didn't see that come to fruition in his life. But that vision he passed along to his son. And we see Solomon. We see the temple. But God promised him a future. David turned into a wonderful, repentant, thankful, grateful sinner. Psalm 51 that we read today, that's David repenting of pretty serious sins that he did. And God forgives him and blesses him. So the message from Nathan, I believe, applies to every one of us today. The reason we have that in 2 Samuel, the reason we hear those words, is so that all this time later, we can cling to the promises of God as well. And I want to take that yet a step further and talk about how Nathan applies to Bread of Life today. Because the same list of blessings applies to this church as it applies to us individually. God has called us to faithfulness as a church. And why are we looking at the same things over again? It's because God calls us to faithfulness individually and as a church. We cannot be faithful individuals and not bring that to our Christian family. God calls us to faithfulness as a church. God defends us and is a shield about us in this place, in this house of worship, in this Christian community. God is our defense and our shield. He is our ever-present help in time of trouble. Lord, where does my help come from? It comes from you, Psalm 121. Man, the Psalms are good. God provides for us when we are faithful. And God provides for this congregation in this place when we are faithful. Together as a family of believers, we can accomplish a lot. We can do a whole lot that we would not be able to do individually. But we come together, not forsaking worship and assembly, as is the habit of some, says Hebrews, but we come together for strength and encouragement, to praise and worship our God, who blesses us and who promises us a future. See, in the next few weeks, we're going to look at how to honor those blessings that God has given us. Because it is absolutely a spiritual teaching, a spiritual way of life that we give back to God from the blessings He gives us. But there's a real practical element of it as well. And if we want to continue coming together to worship at this place and call this place our home, then we have some things to do to move forward. We talked about the roof. We talked about looking for other property. We're talking about all of those things. We're asking God to lead and guide us. We're seeking, like David did, we're seeking wise counsel, prayerful advice, seeking to hear the word of God loudly, clearly, definitively. But I tell you what, no matter what that word is, the underlying word will be faithfulness, that we have to support faithfully the mission to which God has called us. Now, if God says, you know, to 100 people at this place, we need to go somewhere and build a go-kart track, please don't do that. We'll have 3 happy people here. Maybe 4. But you know what? If that's what God says to do, then that's what we better do. I don't think God's going to say that, you know. I don't think God's going to say that. But we have to be faithful to that mission. And if God calls us to do something, then we have to support it faithfully. We have to support the life of this church. Because I tell you what, it doesn't happen by itself. You know, it's giving financially especially is a matter of spirituality. To honor the gifts God has given you. But there's a very real and practical side of that. The lights don't happen here by themselves. Wisconsin Electric is not so enamored with us that they don't send us a bill every month. Dallasman likes to get paid for the water we use, and they send us a bill. I mean, we have to have a very practical side of this as well. So it has to be a both and. But I tell you what, if we stand up here and ask for money because we got to pay the bills, that's going about it all wrong. Because if none of that were an issue, if we were in a brand new building, if this place were absolutely, you know, fantastic and we had money pouring in from donors all over the place, you'd be getting the same message that God wants you to act out of faithfulness and to respond to the blessings that He's given you. It's the same message. With our tiny little budget or with somebody that, you know, a church that has thousands and thousands of people and brings in millions of dollars. It's the same message. God wants faithfulness. He wants you, and He wants you all in. Not a little bit, not halfway. He wants you all in. Nathan said to King David, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." I want us to turn our hearts to honor God with the blessings that He's given us. I want us to be all in for God. David, who was all in, had that real revelation. Man, I am in a great place. And God has not received that from me. I pray that we can do all that is in our heart because the Lord is with us, but that our hearts will be all in for God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this wonderful message from the prophet Nathan, for the strength and courage that he showed to say this to King David, to call him to faithfulness and to righteous living. Lord, help us to embrace Your teachings in our lives to even greater and more wonderful ways. Father, help us not to have doubts or fears about whether we have enough or if we'll have enough. But Lord, let us truly honor the blessings You've given us and to give back to You. That our houses of cedar are places of honor that we might create for ourselves will be nothing compared to the house that all of us together create for You. Father, help us to honor You in our lives. Help us to embrace difficult things, knowing that You defend us, You're a shield about us, that You will provide for us, and that above all, You bless us. We thank You for the ministry of Bread of Life and the call that You've placed upon this place. Lord, help us to go forward with strength and courage to answer that call. All this we ask in the holy and the precious name of Jesus. Amen.